You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are at the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music, sharing stories with attendees, or sharing the stories of attendees at the Institute. We'll get to our story today, a really unique story I'm excited to share. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Kyle and Jacqueline Smith, musicians serving the church. Jacqueline, Kyle, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
So let's start with your stories and where music became a part of your life. Jacqueline, where did music begin in your life? Where did it become a part of your life? And how did that lead to a career in music?
Well, I grew up in a parsonage, but not a Lutheran parsonage. It was a Baptist parsonage. My father's a pastor, and I was one of six children. And my mother very strongly believed that all of us should learn to play the piano and also should learn another instrument as well. And, you know, my father was on this tiny salary, but they managed to do that for all of us. So I played the clarinet all through school and high school bands and everything. And I thought I'd go and be a band teacher. You know, that's what was my big aim. And I ended up instead going into a church music major at what is now Karen University, what in those days was Philadelphia College of Bible. And I was a voice major with an organ minor. And then I went to Temple University and I worked on, I got a master's in vocal performance. And I studied very seriously, like in the opera direction. And I did a lot of singing with orchestra and I loved German Lieder in particular. And I won't go any farther with this story because I realized I went way beyond where it started out. But that's where it started out, way early.
Oh, but now we're intrigued. So.
I know, now I need to know more. But I know at some point this story starts to involve Kyle.
Yes.
So we'll
bring
ask
him
Kyle
in.
A
yes.
question first and we'll come back because I'm very, very interested in this vocal performance. That's super cool. Kyle, what about you? What was your experience in music growing up?
Well, not professional at all. I grew up singing in choirs, however. I would sing in any choir that was around in church. In school, what have you, I guess, famous in my own mind for being in New Jersey Allstate Choir for two years, which was pretty good because I couldn't read music. I just, you know, I could look at something and learn it by rote really fast. And I have a kind of a voice which is not a professional singing voice, but I can sing pretty much on pitch and I can sing loud. And I think Mrs. Truxton, our organist and choir director and ran the children's choir, told us to sing loud because otherwise how could she hear if we were making a mistake or not?
So valid point.
I've done that ever since. And so I just sung in choirs and loved music that way, but you know, just on an amateur level. And I ended up also going to Philadelphia College of Bible through a kind of a number of factors that all came together at the same time. When I was 16, I was brought up Lutheran and loved going to church and loved Sunday school and all that. And I thought, you know, I was pretty serious about religion and all that. But I went through the alas, typical thing of kids who, after they're confirmed, they kind of slip away from the church. And that happened to me. Fortunately, I had friends who were evangelicals, and I started going to their youth group and meetings and things like that. And I ended up having what I can only term is like a conversion experience, or I just became very serious. We used the term born again back then, you know, and whatever it was. And looking back, I think I had faith all along, but it amounted to me just becoming really, really serious about being a Christian. At the same time, I became enamored of becoming a composer. I don't necessarily have to go into the whole story, but it was a piece by Brahms, his Requiem, that I heard, and it just, my jaw hit the floor, and I thought, I got to do this. Now, this is a kid who didn't know anything about writing music, couldn't really read music, but I thought, I got to become a composer. And at the same time, I had this, become very serious about religion, heard about Philadelphia College of Bible, and they had an accredited music department, and I could learn about the Bible, and I thought, well, I'm going to go there. And so I went there, and Jackie was there, and found virtually the only Lutheran who was in Bible college.
I think there were two Lutherans in the whole school.
Yeah, so that's where we met. So that takes us to there.
So,
I love it.
Didn't really read music, yeah. Or at least well, but wanted to be a composer. Let's. How did
Well,
unpack the story a little more.
They took me on probation.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. They took me on probation
because they didn't know what to do with me. The first semester I started learning things, and I remember in chapel I would get the hymnal out, and maybe even during the sermon, but I'd go through the hymnal and just look at the key signatures and say, okay, that's three flats, that's counting E flat major or C minor, I would go through and just kind of teaching myself that, because I was learning that in theory, in theory one. I'd never had any theory before. And, I started to get my feet wet in that, and I picked it up really fast. And so because I had, I guess, some musical aptitude.
Yeah, I think so.
but just no training in it, and started writing music immediately. And some of the earliest stuff was for this pretty lady right here, writing art songs for Jackie, and which taught me a lot about writing for voice. Because she said, what do you write that for? I said, you learn. That doesn't work. That's hard.
Jack, what was that like for you having this guy at college writing you music?
Well, he didn't write me music right away. I mean, we met each other in the chamber choir, and then we had our big connecting moment on our choir tour, which went to New England that year, and it was very, very snowy, and he was on crutches. He had cartilage taken out of a knee, and I ended up.
She had nothing to.
I ended up riding next to him. He could only go in the station wagon because it was cast. And so I went next to him one day. It was just happenstance. And we ended up having this huge conversation. And I mean, I always thought he was a nice guy and everything. And I thought he was a nice look guy. And I also knew that he was very talented and everybody respected him. But, I didn't really know him. And we had this big connection in that car across New Hampshire or something. All sorts of things. Yeah. I don't remember. But I just remember it was like one of those conversations where you think, whoa, Yeah.
Simpatico, Yeah. It's like whatever you think about, whatever the issue was you're talking about, or philosophy, deeply philosophical, 20 years old.
You think you're so philosophical.
Yeah.
But the first songs he wrote for me, I believe, were a set of three songs from my senior recital. Yeah.
Wow. Let's talk about where things went then from college. You were writing, you were composing, you were singing.
Mm-hmm.
Where did things go from college? What was the outcome of college for both of you?
Well, we got married right away.
We got married right away, yeah.
And then I started going to, I went to Temple University to get my master's in composition. And then when I got done that, he went to.
Yeah, well, I was like taking a course at a time because I mean, we had no money. Yeah, we had student loans, and we did not come from rich families. And I was like, just trying to pay the rent. And so he was going full-time matriculated master's program, and I didn't even matriculate yet. So I had a full-time job, and I was, trying to hold down the fort with the bills. And
we had the church job together where I was a choir director.
That's right.
Jackie was the organist.
And that was a
Baptist church.
That was a Baptist church. Yes, and so as soon as we got married, we shared this church job.
And then during that time, I got the full-time job at the Fleischer Collection of Orchestral Music at the Free Library of Philadelphia. Now that's, I don't know if that's kind of wonky, but it's the largest lending library of orchestral music in the world.
Wow.
And I dare say probably in the universe, therefore. but it's a special orchestral music collection. And I was working there. I was a music copyist. This is before computers. We're talking a long time ago. And I was a music copyist, literally pen and ink copyist. That you take an orchestral score and you extract the violin one part and then you extract the violin two part on separate paper because they read just their notes. They don't read from the score. So I was there and then eventually became assistant curator and then became curator because people moved on and died and so forth. And I was left there and they kept moving me up. And so I was there and gave up the choir director job, but Jackie kept getting other
Well, then I got my first Lutheran job.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was, well, that was very, it was an interesting place.
Yeah,
well, place.
We were at Lower Merion Baptist Church for 5.5 years. And that was a very historic Baptist church on the main line of Philadelphia. Then I started working at the Lutheran home at Germantown while he was in grad school. And it was just a clerical job. And I got to know all these German, these old German ladies who were, you know, came to live at the Lutheran home at Germantown. And they were from all these congregations all over Philadelphia. And one day, one lady came in and I was talking to her about her church and I knew they still had German services there. And I was, my favorite stuff to sing was Bach and Schütz and Lieder and all that. And I thought, oh, a German service. And she said, well, I'll take you to Good Friday morning if you want. And they had 10 a.m. Karfreitag Gottesdienst. I thought, whoa, you know. So we had Good Friday off and I drove down to the Lutheran home at Germantown and I went with her and I loved it. It was just, you know, just amazing. And then the next summer, we were outside behind our house that we had just bought. And the daughter of the pastor of that German church is walking with her husband past our house and sees us out in the back. And so they said, oh, you know, can we come back? And we were sitting there talking. And then they started telling us how the organist from this German church had just up and resigned. And her father, Wolf Knappe, had a summer house, a cottage in Wisconsin, because his wife was from the Midwest and they kept connections out. And she said her father no sooner got to that cottage than he got a call from the church council president that the organist resigned with 2 weeks' notice. And she said, so he's going to be going into the fall when he gets back here with no organist. And there was a Männerchor, a Gemischterchor, and an English choir. And two services every Sunday and all these special Lent services in German and English and all this stuff. And then she went, Chimpke, you could have that job. And because we had just left Lower Merion like a few months before, and I thought, whoa, you know, just the thought was very scary. And also, you know, I mean, I was a Baptist. And he had left the Lutheran church. But anyway, to make all that come to an end, I said, I'm going to go take that interview. And I did, and I had to play. There were Germans there, and there were English there. And I had to play German chorales. I had to play to the German liturgy. And then just
you had
stuff.
To play those funky Renaissance rhythms.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh, those are fun.
They like those. They are. I love them. But, like, I had never done that. It wasn't your normal American organist job.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a Baptist, you know. So they hired me, and I went home, and I was scared to tell him. I said, I'm going to take this job. And he said, I'm not going to come. And I said, look, Kyle, I thought, you know, I know that sounds terrible. Like, oh, the disobedient wife and everything. But I thought, I really think I'm supposed to do this job. And I thought, let me just try it and see if he'll come around. So the first Sunday I went by myself. And I remember I was terrified because the service was all in German. And, you know, it was all these liturgical cues and stuff. And I thought, I don't know what, I mean, I knew some German from singing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I didn't, you know, grow up with German. And I thought, I've got to, you know, be ready to pounce on all these, you know, responses and everything. And then the English was no problem. Anyway, the pastor was wonderful and the sermon was wonderful. And I heard it in English at 9 and then I heard the same sermon at 10:30 in German. And I went home and I said, Kyle, I said, you would like this pastor. I said, he preached a gospel sermon. I said, you would like it. I said, you know, I said, please come. And he did.
So I went.
And
no, I did. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
Let's pause there.
Yeah.
We'll tell more of the story in just a moment. We're talking with Kyle and Jacqueline Smith, musicians serving the church. We're learning their story at the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music. We'll resume the coffee hour in just a moment. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Well, Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Kyle and Jacqueline Smith, musicians serving the church, while we are here at the LCMS Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music. And you guys are telling a lovely story about music and your relationship and how you've gotten to the point where you are today and why you're here at the Institute. We're getting to that in just a couple of minutes. But to break, you're telling the story about just all of these ways that God is kind of pointing you mm-hmm. in a certain direction. So, Jacqueline, you took this job
mm-hmm.
playing organ
right.
at a German
right.
and English Lutheran church. And Kyle, you have come along. Yeah. Where does this story go from here?
Absolutely true. And the pastor was really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I remember, we had our first baby coming along.
Oh. Yeah.
And I remembered, so now, of course, I was raised Lutheran, but I didn't really know too real stuff. And through him, I started, and also another professor, a friend of his, I'd started reading Martin Luther.
Yeah, we were reading a lot of Luther.
Actually reading Luther. Yeah. And, you know, mind blown
yeah.
when you read him for the first time. And I remember talking to the pastor about baptism.
Infant baptism. Which for me would be an issue.
Yeah.
You know, coming out of the evangelical tradition. And he was just wonderful about it. So I felt like for the first time.
Like you understood it.
A real Lutheran, you know, a real wearing Lutheran things. And the German stuff was just, I started singing in the Mentor Corps mm-hmm. with these old guys. And it was just the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
And started, which we're still doing now. We're jumping ahead, but another Mentor Corps. But anyway, so that was going. I had my career at working for the city of Philadelphia at the library, and kids started coming, and then, so what happened next? How did we get here? Oh, well, so Jackie, then it was the year 2000.
Well, I stayed 13 years at the German church.
And then at the Lutheran Church in Abington, Holy Trinity mm-hmm. in Abington, which was ELCA again. And then, while we were there, they left the ELCA, joined the NALC, mm-hmm. went through those travails, you know, troubling times and exciting times at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then you got to the point where just a couple of years ago...
One year ago.
The job, you know, we're not spring chickens anymore, yeah. and Jackie was thinking about downsizing.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, I had a big church job, and... I also teach private voice out of my house.
Yeah.
And I also direct German choirs.
Oh.
I never left that. I'm at a German club outside Philadelphia, and I have a Dame Chor and a Männer Chor. And I mean, we have a blast with them. They sing at all these fests. We do our concerts. We sing the national anthem at the Phillies on German Heritage Night. We just do a lot.
There used to be dozens of these in Philadelphia, you know, and now there's two.
There's
one
women's choir and one men's choir.
And I
direct them. So anyway, I thought, you know, I just think it's time to go and let somebody else do this big church job. But what sealed the deal for me was I thought I couldn't imagine just sitting in a congregation on a Sunday morning. Because, I mean, I play and I direct choirs, and that's what I do, and I love to do that. So the American Guild of Organists, I've always been a member. The Philadelphia chapter has the crescendo. It comes out every month, and the whole last three pages of it are job openings.
Yeah.
And my whole time, I always looked at those. Even though I wasn't planning on going, I always check. Well, in May of last year, I see Martin Luther Chapel, Pennsauken, New Jersey, looking for an organist.
And so the story that no one else knows until I tell it is mm-hmm. that I'm from Pennsauken, New Jersey. Uh-huh. There are two Lutheran churches in Pennsauken. I was from the other one.
Ah.
This Martin Luther Chapel is the Missouri church.
Right.
And so they're both on Route 130, you know, about a half a mile from each other.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I can't believe I'm going to go back to church in Pennsauken. But at the other Lutheran church. So we go there. She gets hired, and we just immediately fell in love with the place.
Oh, yeah. And we were always huge admirers of the Missouri Synod.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to the Good Shepherd Institute a number of times. We were involved with
the mission. Always knew lots of you guys.
but there's not so much in the East.
Yeah.
There's not so much Protestant, and and the churches are real tiny mostly. And we did get involved with a church plant in Northeast Philadelphia, and we did concerts for them. It's like we've been around the fringes of you for quite a while, but
and so a year ago Jackie took the job and we joined the church. So that's we're youngins. In Missouri Synod. So
And now our youngest daughter and her husband just joined.
So the Smith family is growing at the church.
Right.
Tell us a little bit more about your music career as well. That has continued to grow as well, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I've been, ever since, you know, Temple University, I've been composing all the time. And I was, you know, I had a full-time job, married, ending up with three kids and stuff. So that means you're composing at night and on weekends. Nevertheless, I kept at it and wrote a lot, including lots of sacred music for church. Always doing that for the churches we were in, for the choirs, biggish or smallish or whatever they happen to be. And little by little, I started getting other opportunities for professional choirs and
orchestras, chamber music.
And I retired, quote unquote. Well, I retired from the library when I turned 55. And then the idea was to work just on composing. But we still had to make some money, and I was doing work at this classical and jazz radio station, WRTI, because I had a radio music from the Fleischer collection that a friend of mine who worked at the station and I co-hosted. So that went on, and they wanted to continue that, even though I wasn't at the Fleischer collection anymore. The library wanted to keep it going, the radio station went, so we kept doing that. The radio station kept giving me more and more stuff to do.
Well, they were calling him to sub all the time.
Yeah, I was subbing, and then I even did some jazz subbing, which was fun. I did a lot of classical announcing, and then a lot of behind the scenes work. And then finally, it turned around. I thought, you know, I had already left one full time job to compose full time. So in 2017, I stepped away from the station. You know, I loved everything I did there, but you know, it's like, Kyle, if you're going to do this full time, do it full time. And so I've been doing nothing but composing basically since 2017. So the word got out somehow that there was a Missouri Synod. There was a guy who was a newly Missouri Synod minted composer. And so I was contacted. And so I wrote a setting of Psalm 132 that's going to be done at the Institute in just tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, this week. So very, very, very excited about that.
Yeah. We have just a minute or two left, but you guys are here at the Institute. What have you been learning? Who have you been meeting? What has it been like for you guys to be here among all of these LCMS church musicians and pastors?
Well, it's been a wonderful experience. We're really enjoying it. I think one of the things that impresses me the most is just how the singing and I mean, that acoustic in St. John's, I mean, oh my word, as soon as they even did a spoken response and the whole church is buzzing with singing, I thought, you know, this is like...
It brings you to tears, really. And we're meeting lots of people whose names we knew, a few people that we knew from the Good Shepherd Institute.
From the Good Shepherd Institute.
At Fort Wayne and renewing acquaintances there. And so it's been just wonderful to, and also it's very encouraging because a lot of churches are going through the same issues, you know, and it's very encouraging to be inspiring to your congregation and to get people involved in as many ways as you can.
And getting ideas.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. That's great.
Now, if I remember correctly, your bio in the conference book mentioned something about some awards.
Oh, no. I've had three Grammy nominations. I haven't won one yet, but neither did the Beach Boys.
You're in good company.
Yeah, no, actually one Grammy nomination was, I helped win it for the producer of the year, but you know, me and eight other CDs, you know, that he had produced that year. But yeah, I had a couple of big pieces that have been Grammy nominated, so that's been fun.
Yeah.
So.
Well, his most splashy one was The Ark in the Sky.
Yeah.
Which is a full concert length, 65 minute piece.
Yeah.
Which we've been to Latvia to hear sung.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's played a lot on Sirius Radio, and
People sometimes get the idea that all I write is hard music because it is, you know, I'm writing for a lot of professional choirs. But, you know, I grew up and for decades, all I wrote for was amateur choirs and small choirs. And I still do that.
You still know how to do that.
I still know how to do that. You know, I think it's the best training as a composer to write for groups like that. You know how to, you know, take people by the hand and lead them along the voice leading so that they can learn. And you also have to write tunes.
Mm-hmm. You have to write things people are going to enjoy singing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, simple music that isn't boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's very important.
And you know what? Pros like tunes too. They really do.
Oh, what a fascinating story. And I'm so glad we're here that we get to meet you and hear your story. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us on the Coffee Hour today. Kyle and Jacqueline Smith, musicians serving the church. Thanks for being our guests.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.